Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
And welcome to another episode of Grey's Academy, your favorite Grey's Anatomy podcast on the entire internet. And guess what? Oh my gosh, she's back! Michael fixed this interface somehow. I don't know how he just did, and now it's fixed. And now I have my bleep button again. So yay me! And if I need to cough or yawn, I can also mute myself. Yay. So
not
I
that we will.
I am one of your hosts, Kelsey.
And I am one of your hosts, Carmen. And it's a beautiful day to burp into the podcast. It's a beautiful day for a podcast. My name is Carmen. We're at Grey's Academy. We love it. We love you. If this is your first time listening or your 1,000th time listening, if this is your first watch of Grey's or your 1,000,000,003 watch, go to patreon.com/Grey's Academy Pod. Go to Instagram and search Grey's Academy Pod. Go to back to wherever you listen to this podcast and hit that 5-star button, that follow button, leave a review, type it up. Make sure you let your voices be heard on how beautiful you think that we are. That's what's happening right now. Did you say that you wanted to share something, or did you want to wait until we actually jump into the episode?
Oh, it was just, I was going to say before we started recording that I hate Owen, but I said, I'll wait till we're recording to talk about it.
Owen sucks. He really, really sucks.
Yeah, this is, we've been building to this moment. A lot of people, we've had some dialogue in the Carmen Free threads on Discord about this particular ending, and why it's the worst. Obviously, and we'll get to that. But first, we do have a new Patreon to shout out. Abby, thank you for joining us.
Woo, Abby! Amazing.
Also, I got a couple of emails this week, and I wanted to shout out one in particular from someone named Zia. And I truly... she just found the podcast and she said she's in season 2, and I fear that she'll never get to this episode because she said the things that she likes about our podcast is that we go in chronological order, and also that we don't ramble about other things during our episode. So I fear that's going to change for her.
You should reply to her and say, please just give us a shot. Maybe
yeah.
Skip well, to hoping, one of these
like,
episodes.
Maybe by the time that she gets to one of like the episodes where we're doing that, maybe she'll like us enough that it won't matter. But I was like reading it and I was like, oh no, she's not going to like it.
What were the other emails from?
Well, we got one from Joe because he's the best. And he said that he went to the doctor's office and they had the Grey's Anatomy, like the actual like medical textbook on their shelf. And he was like, he must be a good doctor. And I was like, that's damn right.
Sometimes I just walk around with the Grey's Anatomy textbook and just like in like scrubs right? and a hoodie and just yeah. be like, how can I help? I'm a doctor.
So real. Yeah, it was... talking to Jessica about something medical related, and I was like, but I'm just saying things. My medical degree comes from Grey's Anatomy and yours comes from Google, so we should probably talk to actual doctors.
Right, right. Speaking of, hold on, I want to shout myself out because I've got an update for you all. So I had a dentist appointment scheduled for next Thursday.
The worst.
I actually don't mind the dentist.
I know you don't. Fine. I really hate it though.
But I was like, you know what? I'm going to take a personal day and I'm going to try to get in to see a primary care physician. So I found a PCP. Wow. So I have, it's my first time going to see this person. I don't know who this person is. I know nothing about them, but the doctor's office is literally across the street from my house. So it's beautiful. I really hope they have a good convenient clinic. And then I thought, you know what? Let's take this one step further. And I got a dermatology appointment. So I'm going to go get my little my little skin taggies looked at. And then I thought, how can I make this day better? I'm going to go and find a therapist. So I have a therapy appointment set up for that day, too. So
what
I am
day
going
is this that you're doing all this?
Next Thursday.
That's a big day.
So
next Thursday, I believe, is also when I get to do my glucose test for pregnancy to see if I have gestational diabetes. So I will also be at the doctor.
So on one hand, the glucose is good because it's yummy. And on one hand, the glucose is bad because it means things.
If
stuff.
Your pancreas is not doing a good job.
Right. Just during the pregnancy, though.
Yes. But if you develop gestational diabetes, you are more prone to develop type 2 diabetes later in life.
Mm.
But both of those things are manageable, so it's okay.
And isn't Meredith and Bailey curing that?
Yes. Well, I think they actually are curing type 1. So.
Ah, that's right. So, yeah, so I'll have to update you guys in 2 weeks because of that. So that'll be nice. But I'm putting my money where my mouth is. So, Kelsey, your move on getting a therapy appointment.
I know. I also need a PCP.
And your move on getting a PCP. Here's the thing. I think I have talked about this. I've talked about my uncle having the heart attack, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So that runs in my family. On my dad's side, my grandfather had he had a stroke in like his 30s or 40s, and then he actually died of a heart attack. So it runs on my dad's side. And then my uncle died of a heart attack. My dad has high blood pressure. And when we were doing just using blood pressure cuffs at work the other day. Mm-hmm. The person who took my blood pressure said that I have high blood pressure, but it was on the heels of a pretty intense meeting. And I also had a Zoa already. So
what was your number? Do you remember?
154 over 82.
Oh, that's really high.
That's not high. Someone was in the 200s at my job.
Did they send them to the emergency room? That's insane.
No, but they're like, actually on blood terrifying. Pressure medication. So I think they just hadn't taken their medication.
150, because it's supposed to be 120 over 80 is like the ideal.
Oh, so I had the beats right. This is too much pressure. Okay, great. All right. Well,
but no,
here's
that's very good. I'm proud of you for being proactive.
I just want to know for sure. I know it's the silent killer for a reason. I just also would like to see my daughter get married someday. You know, that would be nice.
Do you have your life insurance set up?
Yes.
Already?
Yes.
Okay, because that was one thing my dad said. He was like, before you go to like a cardiologist, make sure you have like your life insurance set. Because once you get that diagnosis and then try and get life insurance, it's really, really difficult. And they can really fuck you over.
Yes. So, but I'm going to go first. It's like my appointment is at 7:30 in the morning. So I'm hopeful that if it was extenuating circumstances that made it, or it was a bad test or whatever, that like first thing in the morning, I'll be at like resting peace. But, also like, I'm really trying to get back into the swing of like waking up early, doing the workouts in the morning. I need to add more cardio.
Well, and it's easier now that you have a more regulated schedule.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it is still hard. It's a hard transition to make.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I wanted to shout that out. So that's
Well, I'm proud of you and looking forward to an update in 2 weeks.
Yes.
And I am will also be doing, we've been messing with our insurance as well because I have to go through, well, I don't have to. I am able to go through insurance to get a breast pump for free.
So I have to
figure that out. I'm going to figure out the therapy situation as well. Yeah, I don't have a PCP. We're also looking for dentists. I just don't like the dentist. It's just the worst.
You could fly up here every 6 months and I can get you one with mine.
You know, it's really not about the person because most of the ones I've had have always been very, very kind. It's really just like an anxiety situation.
At least
shout
this way,
out to
I
the
can
one
go
in
with
Florida
you.
Because they were very kind and they were very understanding. And the first time I had to get a filling, because here's the thing, I have shit teeth. Like they would always be like, we can tell that you brush your teeth. It just doesn't matter. Your teeth are just not good. I'm like, okay. I guess that's a fair trade because I never had braces. So they're straight. I have very soft teeth. So like the enamel isn't good. And that's like a pretty important part of your teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're like, yeah, we can tell you're trying, but like, bummer. And then also pregnancy makes your gums worse. And like, no one can tell me why. They're like, oh yeah, that just happens during pregnancy. I'm like, okay, but gross.
Tell me why.
But the first time I had to get a filling, they were like, oh, you can do the like nitro gas or whatever. And it's like $99. I was like, fine, I'll do it. Then the second time I had to do it, they were like, oh, we have this other option where you can just take this pill that will make you go to sleep. It was $4. So like anytime I had to get anything done, I was like, give me that $4 sleeping pill. Let me sleep for 12 hours. This is lit.
Let me get refreshed. No, I love that.
So. You know, it's a good way to start the new year. So well done. Proud of you. Encourage those who are able and have that access to do that as well. It can be difficult. We understand. It's probably going to get more difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, if you can't afford therapy, just remember, it's okay not to doom scroll because my doom scrolling has been really bad this week. It has not been good for my brain. And because it's so freaking cold, I can't even really go outside and like get any sunshine about it. So,
yeah,
I know it's cold where you are as well.
Yeah, I walked outside today. Like I was in back-to-back meetings for like 6 hours straight. And I was like, can we just take 5 minutes? I just need to go like get a fresh air, just one singular,
singular.
I need one singular oxygen particle, please.
Yes.
So
times are tough.
Yeah, times are wild.
Times are overwhelming, but we have each other.
It's true, and we also have.
It's easy to get overwhelmed.
Yeah, yeah, but we're gonna make it.
But you can take a break. You have permission to get off social media. You don't have to scroll. You don't have to doom scroll.
You also have permission to just get off. You know, do your thing.
Yeah. Do what brings you joy.
Do it just not in a public place. I mean, I was going to say,
you know, you don't have that permission for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't want to encourage you to go to jail. But I do have a couple other things to shout out to, one kind of like medium shout out, but then, you know, another good shout out. Did you have another email to share as well or no?
No, I think those were the main ones.
Okay. Full disclosure. I know that we are rambling a lot today, but this is also just a lot to get caught up on. I do want to shout out that I finally finished season 3 of Private Practice. That finale, though, wow.
Yeah, Carmen was not pleased.
So I want to shout out kind of, we got a review from the UK.
I love this woman. I don't even care. I love her. I'm shouting her out without any caveats.
I hate her. I don't hate her. I hate the review that she gave, the stars. It's a 2-star review. It's fine. Whatever.
Oh, I didn't see that. It's 2 stars.
That's 2 stars. That's why. I mean, yeah, I like what she wrote. But I hate that it's 2 stars. Her name is Christina Gray. I think there's a coincidence. Maybe she's a Gray's fan. The title is "Good Format, But Please Get an Editor." Okay. Quote, "I honestly love the format of this. A Gray's diehard and a newbie straight into my veins. Thanks. This could have stopped here," is in my opinion. Next is, "But the amount of times the hosts have straight yawned or straight up dirty belched in my ear, or I've reached for my phone because there were several seconds of silence," which I want to say, all of our earlier episodes since switching to Audio Boom, I still have not gone in and added mid-roll ads. So it probably says, let's take a quick moment from our regional sponsors. And then it's just like 4 seconds of silence because there's no ad placement in there. So I just want to say, Christina Gray, which I know is not your real name, that I am sorry, but also I am not a sorry. And then where was I here? And here, because there were several seconds of silence and I thought there was an issue with my internet connection. I am begging you to hire an editor and also to just re-record those moments where you make gross noises into the microphone. I shan't and yeah, I won't.
Say, we're not going to re-record. We would love to hire an editor. Editors are expensive, rightfully so. They do hard work and our episodes are long. So we would be paying a lot of money to have an editor for all of our episodes. When we say that Carmen edits, he balances the audio, but like we don't record for 2 hours and then have him go back for 2 hours and comb through and like clip out all the pauses and like things like that. One day, potentially, we will be able to afford an editor. I don't disagree with what she's saying.
I also I don't want to edit out the burps. Yeah. Like, keep the burps. Yeah, make America burp again.
I always apologize when I burp, okay? I apologize. Yeah. I'm not a nice British lady like Christina Gray.
We do have a 5-star review to offset this from Tay LC Will. And this is titled From the Beginning, .. 5-star review. Already love it. Huge fan of Grey's, and I just started binge watching Grey's Anatomy all the way from season 1 and decided to listen to this podcast while I'm at work. Love this podcast. Thank you for being a daily entertainment. So a little bit nicer than Christina so Gray. I'm really not mad. I'm not mad.
I also think that might just be like a British thing.
Maybe.
I don't think she's being rude. I think that's just how British people communicate. I don't think it's rude.
Maybe.
I think it's factually correct. Girl.
And then
I'm choking. I'm dying.
Gently, very, very quickly. Truly, very quickly. I want to shout out to... Where are we here? Jade, who I think recently found us and we were messaging each other on Instagram. Shout out, Jade, for all the nice things that you said to me. Shout out to a new follower named Charlie. Really love to have you on the Instagram list here. Thank you so much. Shout out to Lily from the UK. Love having you here as well. And then the last ones that I have here, I just want to very quickly give some love to Jamie for finally reaching out to me via Instagram. Shout out to Kaylee for my Chapel Roan love conversation. And then lastly to Brianna and Callista. Love getting to hear from you guys. With that, I'm done. See, I think I did that pretty quickly.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, sorry that we're 17 minutes in before we get to it, but also it is what it is. We're having
also a, I have more shout outs.
We're just surviving the week at this point. This is the 12th episode of the 8th season. It is episode 160 overall. And it is called Hope for the Hopeless, and that is a song.
Shit. Yes, it is. Hold on. Sorry. Dang. Oops. Okay, here we go. Hope for the Hopeless, a song by Sheila Walsh. This song is a song that I for sure have done research on prior to this moment. Here it is. Wait. Nope.
I don't feel like that's who sang it. Is that who sang it?
Hold on.
No, it's A Fine Frenzy.
A Fine Frenzy. Yes, hold on.
See, this is something the editor would edit out.
No, but this is what makes us accessible to people. This is what makes people feel like they know who we are.
And... this is what makes people hit the 30-second skip button.
No, don't skip. This is every second of everything that we say is important.
That's okay. Not true.
The song Hope for the Hopeless by A Fine Frenzy was released in 2007 off of the album One Cell in the Sea. There's not much that I have about this song because it doesn't exist in Wikipedia. But what I will tell you is that this song was a slow burn. And while I don't think I don't love the song, it's just a 3. I would say subjectively, objectively, probably also a 3. But it had a kind of a slow groove to it and a little bit of a guitar tone that caught me right in the beginning. So it did make it to my iTunes playlist. So you're welcome, everyone. Go listen to it. It is.
Oh, that's exciting.
It did make it to my list here. So
this episode was written by Peter Norwalk, directed by Mark Jackson, aired January 19th, 2012. So we're actually almost right on.
Wow.
With recording. And it aired to 9.42 million views. So down a little bit from the last couple weeks. The Netflix synopsis is Richard's 10,000th surgery is a liver transplant for 2 sisters. So, cliffhanger on that one. So, spot on, but, you know, other stuff happened too. But that's a pretty big point.
So, I had to look this up. According to research... Typically
research.
And this is, hold on, maybe I shouldn't look at the AI research.
Please don't.
Dear AI, you know, AI pops up automatically on Google now.
I know.
So the average general surgeon will get 398 surgeries done in a year. Okay. So that means that if we're using that as an example, we'll even round to 400. Okay. That means that it took Richard 25 years to hit 10,000 surgeries. That at least makes sense. I'm glad
that they also didn't... I feel like it would be longer than that because of when he was the chief, he wouldn't have been doing as much.
You would think in true life world, yes.
Yeah.
But as we've seen in Grey's, the chief does just as many surgeries as an intern.
Different rules over here in Grayson. The chief's down in the ER suturing up randos on the street.
Excuse me, sir. Can you finish payroll? Nope. Got an appy to take care of.
Sir, can you sign the budget for the hospital so we can hire people? No. Must operate.
I'm appy to do it, but I have to go.
Delightful.
Thank you.
So, yeah, this episode is both a lot happens and not a lot.
I felt the same way.
Simultaneously. And then there's a very sad part and then a very infuriating part. And
what was the sad part?
Adele.
Oh, yes. You know, here's what's really messing me up. Mm-hmm. We watched this episode ready to go yesterday, which, by the way, I know we're 22 minutes in, but thank you all for being patient with us.
Yeah. As always, we appreciate it.
Yes. So actually, both of our spouses had fallen ill yesterday, so it was tough. Kelsey was on 2 baby duty and 1 doggy duty. I was just on 1 baby duty. So appreciate all of your patience. But I've watched an episode and a half of Private Practice since watching this Grey's episode, mm-hmm. and things were getting blurred for that, and that's really hard. So I had to like re-listen to this on the way home, but I only listened to like half of the episode while I was coming home. So
the good half, the front half, when things aren't terrible, when Adele's not there and Owen isn't screaming.
Yeah, the front half is the better half, in my opinion, though. In all things,
well, I mean, it's the happier half. I will say, as much as the terrible things happen in the second half, they do a good job.
Yeah.
For the drama, for the writing, for the acting, all of that.
Yeah.
So let's start with, it's Zola's birthday.
Hooray!
Precious, she's 1, so now we know how old she is. She's Oon. She's so fucking cute.
Seriously, that is a cute baby.
Yeah, she a
get
cutie.
Get in my belly!
Okay, well, all right.
That was Austin Powers.
No, no, I know what it is. It's just okay. A weird thing to say about a baby.
I want my baby back.
I mean, I have a baby in my belly currently, so maybe that's why I think it's weird, because it's uncomfy. But so
I don't
cute,
eat babies,
so.
Everyone.
Thank you for clarifying that.
Just that you don't know what needs to or what needs to not be clarified in this world today. Okay.
God, if that's, I know things that do need to be clarified that don't get clarified. Anyways, so the it starts with them at the house. Well, it doesn't start that, but Meredith is at the house trying to like make a birthday cake for Zola, and she writes "Yay Zola," which is like, I would definitely do that. And Jackson's like, why didn't you write happy birthday? She's like, I can't fit all this on this damn cake. I'm like, that's right, girl. You do you.
Just get a happy Yag birthday. Just get a happy birthday candle. That's what you
respectfully
need.
Respectfully go to Publix and order a cake.
Right.
I know they don't have Publix in Seattle.
Yeah.
But go to a grocery store, order a cake. Go to a local bakery, order a cake, whatever.
Wait, hold on. Speaking of Publix, I thought of you
so good.
Yesterday. Guess what article? I read a newspaper, not a newspaper, article, but I read a news. Carmen, shut up. Don't joke about that until I see my PCP.
Oh, right.
I read a news article the other day, and I thought of you. Can you guess what it was about?
Well, now I want to say it's about Publix, because that's what brought us to this topic.
Not Publix.
Oh. Was it a grocery store?
Kind of. Kind of a gas station.
Wawa?
Bucky's!
Oh, Bucky's.
And how it's like people are clamoring to try to get Bucky's into their towns and stuff. And how basically the Bucky's in Memphis, they're like trying to give them all these breaks. They're trying to get a Bucky's in Memphis because the mayor of Memphis is like, help us raise our quality of life. And I'm like, for real though, get Bucky's there.
We do have the largest one in the country in Tennessee. Whoa. It's not the one that we went to, because we went to the one in Georgia, but the largest one in the country is a little bit further north than the one we went. Like it's like an hour and a half away, I think. And they're already so huge that I have no idea what that looks like. I do want to go, but one time you will have to plan a trip, because it's in the like Pigeon Forge, Gatlinburg area. And they're also this summer opening like Nerf World. So
love it.
Yeah, imagine like laser tag, but it's all nerfs and everything. So they're opening that. So I was like, I need to go there. And Dollywood. So
yeah. And I've never been to Dollywood.
Oh, it's fun.
Also never been to Bollywood.
Me neither.
But I have been to Hollywood.
I have not.
We should go to Hollywood when they rebuild.
We should go there. I want to go to Disneyland again.
Yes.
Okay.
Alex is out being promiscuous too.
Alex has some ladies. They only show one, but they allude to many.
And this random woman trying to touch Zola. I'm with Meredith. Yeah. Don't
very,
touch my
very
baby.
With Meredith.
I don't
we
know.
We don't touch the baby.
Yeah, because I don't know where your hands have been.
Don't touch people's babies, guys. If you don't know them, don't touch them. Just it's especially right now. So many germs. Don't do it.
I was at Walmart the other day, and the checkout greeter touched Marlo's shoulder, and I wanted to be like,
no.
What is your problem? And he was like, oh, no. You're so cute. And I'm like, you could say that with your words and not your hands, sir.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're going to have Zola's birthday party in the...
I'm kidding. was that the perfect
time?
Yeah, thank you.
You timed that really well. So yeah,
for legal reasons,
Zola's
I did not kill
party.
That man. I killed him. Not kill the first. Okay. Stop eating.
Okay.
We're going to get another bad drunk. Review.
It's true, Fru. I can't stop.
All right. Also, no one give us a bad review if Kelsey eats. She's pregnant. Cut the woman a break.
Leave me alone. I'm pregnant. That's so good.
Okay. All right. We can do this.
Let's talk about. I don't even know where to start because it's all so intertwined. Let's talk about Richard's thing and Adele.
All right. What I like,
so it's
about,
gonna be Richard's. Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say, what I like about the opening of this is Weber's like, please don't make a big deal of this. And Bailey's like, let me tell you how we're making it a big deal, you buffoon.
No. He said, don't make a big deal. And she goes, we won't. And he goes, but you're gonna do something, right? And then she breaks down step
That's
by step
right.
what they're gonna do with an attitude.
Yeah.
And he's like, but not that confetti. I don't want it to get in the cake.
And he leers at her as the elevator closes.
I love them. They're
that
so
is
funny.
So funny. Also, shout out, his favorite kind of cake is red velvet. Respect, mm-hmm.
With
Weber.
Cream cheese frosting.
Is
I love also she says,
it?
There will be a cake and it will be the size of four cakes. I'm like, that's my kind of cake.
So one cake.
One cake the size of four cakes. Did you remember a couple of years ago when there was a tweet from some like police department in like Dakota or something, one of the Dakotas, that was like a large boulder the size of a small boulder is blocking the highway.
Yeah. Yes, I do remember that.
Good times,
man. Sometimes okay. The internet can do good.
Yeah. So they're gonna have this part. It's a liver transplant between dysfunctional sisters, to say the least.
Yes, the least.
Karen and Marcy. One of which one is getting the liver? Karen?
I believe
Marcy.
Marcy is being aggressive. Karen.
Marcy sucks.
Yeah,
Karen's
Marcy
liver
is, the...
is failing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Karen is in liver failure. Karen is the woman from My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you see that movie? I love that movie.
I saw like 2 minutes of that movie.
Really? That's it? Oh, that movie's really funny. You would like it. You should watch it.
I have heard. I have heard that I should watch that. You know what else I heard? I heard that there's going to be a really, really awesome ad from the regional sponsors. So do that really quick before we get our ramp up. It's all the banter. I'm so sorry.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
And we're back. If you heard no messages, Christina, be nice to us.
We have pauses sometimes, Carl.
We do.
Sometimes we fill them with and sometimes the issue is it's an audio podcast and sometimes we're glaring at each other or pausing for dramatic effect, which doesn't always translate. Anyways, so the woman who plays Karen is named Nia Vardalos.
I'm glaring.
And she actually wrote My Big Fat Greek Wedding because she was trying to break into Hollywood and she kept like getting turned down for parts. So she was like, I'm just going to write a part that I would be perfect for. She did. It was great. So anyways, that's my fun fact about her. I love My Big Fat Greek Wedding. I have not seen the sequel, so I don't know if it's good. But the first one is incredible.
There's two of these movies that I need to watch?
No, you can just watch the first one.
Okay.
Okay, so Marcy fucking sucks. Marcy is a sister who's giving Karen the liver.
What a turd.
And she will not shut the fuck up. She's being so like guilt trippy isn't even strong enough of a word. Like passive aggressive, guilt trippy, like all these negative, gross. She sucks. I can't believe she's married. I cannot imagine that to be a positive relationship.
Imagine that person. What if they're also passive aggressive?
And she's raising children. I'm like, those children already need to be in therapy if this is their mother. Yep.
Get them in. Get them in now.
So So Marcy is like making Karen feel bad that she's giving her a liver, and Karen is like in active end stage liver failure. Like, it's really bad.
Like, could die.
And she's basically saying, the sister's basically saying she's just being dramatic. Like, at what point, like, she's going into surgery. At what point do you no longer think she's being dramatic? I don't understand.
Because even when she vomits up blood, she's like, oh, that's fake.
When I win arguments, she doesn't feel good. I'm like, her liver doesn't work. That feels like a valid reason to not feel good.
Yeah. When she says classic drama queen, and then she immediately is like projectile blood vomit. And then Meredith at one point finally is like, can you just make like a rope and not, please?
Yeah, both of you, no more talking. I'm putting you in timeout. And then, of course, Marcy's like, you can't talk to me like that, bitch. Yes, she can. And she will. And she does. So, yeah, it's just not fun to watch.
No.
I'm like, at what point? And then I was confused, I will say. I couldn't tell if we're like, I'm like, are we supposed to be on Karen's side, or are we supposed to think they both suck? Because I was on Karen's side. Like, the whole time.
I also was on. Yeah, I was on Karen's like, side, too.
Are we supposed to think they both suck? Because then Meredith's like, you both aren't allowed to talk. And I'm like, but she's not doing anything wrong.
No.
So,
no.
And then that she finally is like, you can no longer ever bring this up ever again, except for on Thanksgiving. That's the only day that I'll thank you for it. Otherwise, I will spoil all of your secrets to the world, which I love. Like, blackmail her. Blackmail her into not being a shitty person.
Well, and also, what triggered that was when she says, I think Meredith had said, you're the proud owner of a new liver. And then Karen says, thank God. And Marcy says, don't thank God, thank me.
Oh my gosh. This one sucks.
Up, Marcy. My gosh. So the blackmail included her lipstick selling Ponzi scheme, the drunk texting of her college ex-boyfriend still as being married. That sucks. Yeah, Marcy's a booty.
I did think it was really funny when at some point Karen's like, I'm not taking your liver, and then she's like, fine, I'll take it. And Marcy goes, I'll call like Paul and the kids, whoever her fucking husband is. They'll be so glad to hear you've chosen life. That does make me laugh every time. I'm like, that's funny.
That's because you would say that.
It's because it's funny.
It is funny.
But I would say it like a joke. She was saying it like a bitch.
Yeah, no, she was not a kind person. I will say, I think that there is slightly more love, but I envision you and your sister being not passive aggressive, but definitely being very just sarcastic. Aggressive. Yeah, just aggressive. That's the difference. Just be aggressive at that point.
Yeah.
Don't be passive about it. Double down, own it. You're being a turd. Like, just don't hide it inside of a perfume store.
It's so funny because Michael always says that, like, me and Emily and my dad are the same in so many ways. And when my dad went down last week to visit Emily, they were like texting back and forth about the plan, like when he was traveling, and they texted each other the exact same thing at the exact same time. And Emily was like, maybe Michael's right about this one thing.
That's funny.
So yeah,
shout out to both your dad and your sister.
Thanks.
And shout out to Clay.
So true.
Just listen to this podcast.
Shout out to just everyone that I'm related to in any way.
Yeah.
Okay. They do the surgery, and it's like the surgery, there's no complications. Everything's fine. The drama obviously is right when they start the surgery, Weber gets paged that he's needed in the lobby. And so he sends April out there to handle it. And she finds Adele and the neighbor, and the neighbor says that Adele was trying to walk to the hospital, which is like 7 miles away. She's very disoriented, and she's also like very, not irate, but like she's very upset, on edge. Like she's upset. She doesn't know what's going on. She's clearly having an Alzheimer's flare up spell. I don't really know what the terminology would be.
She was in a current state of lucidity. She was not.
Yeah, lucid. She was definitely not in the current time frame of 2012. So April asked the neighbor to stay with her while she goes to figure out what to do. And of course, Adele like disappears. So Adele finds Richard's old office. And remember, Owen was like, I don't want to be tied to this office. So he cleared it out. So there's essentially nothing in there other than like some filing cabinets. So Adele is again very confused, and April's like, oh, this used to be his office. And then she freaks out and she's like crying. She's like, I can't believe he left me. I can't do it alone. Please don't leave me. He always loved her and not me. Very upsetting. I don't like it.
And it's just like so intense too.
It's very intense. She does a great job. The actress Loretta Devine, she does an incredible job, but it's very sad. And it makes me sad. And I know we have several listeners who have shared that they have family members struggling with Alzheimer's or dementia. And our hearts just go out to you because it's just very hard. It's very hard to be a caregiver or even just a family member and like watch someone you love go through that and know how to be there for them in the best way. There have been like medical advancements since this time, but there's still no cure for these things, and it's still very hard on family members and everything. I know your grandmother struggled with that before she passed away.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it's just hard. So I think the portrayal is really well done, because it's very sad, but it is very sad. So
that's
how it is portrayed.
I would wonder, it's like a really twisted, sad version of Would You Rather, but it's mm-hmm. like, would you rather be with someone who has the Alzheimer's and they go in and out of remembering and will eventually not remember completely some things or be in a different state of time? Or like my grandma had what's called vascular dementia. So she mm-hmm. slowly lost function of like full communication. But she would have like one sentence or two sentences that she could say to respond to anything. Mm. So like you could say anything, or how are you doing today? And she would be like, oh, I'm in La La Land. Or she would say, it is what it is. But then you would be like, what are your thoughts on, do you want more salt on your food? I'm in La La Land, So like,
yeah.
Those were like her only two things that she would be able to go through and stay. And at the end, she had lost like complete ability to respond. Just kind of like head nods or smiles. Mm-hmm. But because at that point, you don't even know if they're able to actually understand or comprehend right. what's being communicated. But yeah, it's just tough. It's tough. And anyone who's dealing with mental decreased functionality,
capacity.
Yeah. Yes, thank you. In their family, our hearts do go out to you, because that is tough. It just sucks.
Yeah, and there are luckily lots of very established and like well-known research groups doing research on all of these illnesses, and hopefully that in our lifetime there will be a cure or at least a treatment, because there's really not even treatments currently, but hopefully that will change.
Yes.
But so I do think they do a good job with the portrayal. obviously, so then April is kind of at a loss and really doesn't know what to do. And so she takes Adele to the gallery to see Richard, to be fair, I feel like is kind of the only answer at that point. She's adamant.
Yeah. What else could she do?
First, she was adamant to see him, and then she's like convinced that he's not even there anymore. That he's left her, he doesn't love her. So yeah, at that point it's like, okay, are you gonna let this woman have a full-blown panic attack for like the next 3 full hours, or are you gonna do what you can do to take care of it? So she takes her to the gallery of the operating room, Adele sees Meredith, thinks it's Ellis, is upset because she's like, you promised you wouldn't work with her anymore. Like, you're leaving me for her. Why don't you love me? Why do you love her? Ellis, why are you doing this? Like, what kind of woman does this? Blah, 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 all this stuff. So Meredith offers to scrub out and Richard says, no, I need the help. And then Meredith kind of offers her experience from dealing with her mom's Alzheimer's and was like, try and share a memory that will ground her, like kind of bring her back to reality. And so he sings My Funny Valentine and they talk about getting married on Valentine's Day.
Which is sad, cute. And
it's cute, it is sad and heartbreaking.
Yes.
Like the interaction is sad, but like the memory they share is very special and very cute.
Yeah.
And he starts singing. She also sings along with him. It clearly does help kind of bring her back. And you kind of see her looking around and putting things together. And then at the end of the episode, Richard is at Zola's party and says that, you know, they have a night nurse who's there and she was asleep. She was feeling better. So just one of those things. It's just hard when you like think about not knowing, you know, from moment to moment, what version of your spouse or your partner or your family member you're going to be with, because they don't know either.
And the way that it's even been portrayed, not just in this show, but I think to my admittedly limited understanding of Alzheimer's or different dementias, is it could change on a dime. Like we even saw Ellis go from fully lucid to with Weber or with Meredith out of with Meredith and then with Weber and then she died. Right. So like anything could happen.
Yeah. And I will say I also don't have like firsthand experience with it. I've only really ever seen it in media portrayals. But it does seem like that where they're in a moment together and then it just like clicks and they're like, who are you? What's happening? So that's very hard.
Gotta feel bad, I think, for they
do a good portrayal.
Yeah. Gotta feel bad for Meredith and all of this too, because she's standing there. This is not
the first time that that Adele has yelled at her for being Ellis.
Right. And they're full. She's in a scrub cap. She's in a mask. How would Adele even know? The gallery's far away. Like, I,
you know, if that's the time frame that she's in, I think in that flashback episode, I think they did say like, that's the only female in the class. Cause like she was the only female and Richard was the only black male.
Right.
Black male, not black male, because we were talking about that a minute ago. But so I think that was part of like their bonding. So it may have been, that would kind of be my thought process on how she quote unquote like knew it was her, even though it wasn't her. So
yeah. Yeah. That's a good point.
So,
but it still sucks butt. Like, it's not happy.
It's still the fucking worst. And then Meredith is also simultaneously this entire episode dealing with Hunt is like, you have to declare a specialty, which is fair. And everyone is like, oh, you should go into general like your mom. And so this whole episode, everyone's like, oh, be like your mom, be like your mom, be like your mom. Meredith has just adopted this baby and her biggest fear is becoming her mother. And like not being a good person. And so all of these, this, she's hearing this from everybody. And then Adele is like, you fucking suck. You're a homewrecker.
Ellis Gray, you're killing my marriage.
I hate that term. I really don't use it. I'm just saying, I feel like that was the portrayal that Adele was giving. But
I can confirm Kelsey in the entire time that I've known her has not liked the word homewrecker.
I don't like that word. I feel like it's very misogynistic. And so it just kind of accumulates with it, like with Meredith's current dilemma and like fears. So I do love the moment at the party when Richard has, which I also love, obviously, because it's Richard who knew Ellis probably better than anyone else in the world, was like, you are nothing like your mother. You helped me today. You threw this party for Zola. You then basically undid it and did it for me. Like, you could not be further away from your mother when it comes to personality. Like, you have the talent and the skill, but you have so much more to offer as a person. So that's not something you need to be worried about, which I love that moment. I thought it was very nice. And it also kind of fleshed out why Meredith was going back and forth so much, because they don't really get into it before that, like why she's hesitant to declare general.
Yeah, I was actually having this conversation, not about Grays, but I was having a conversation with someone today who was who's a parent of a young child as well. And there's something about the legacy that you leave as a parent and the legacy that you own with parents that you don't see eye to eye with. We know that Meredith does not see eye to eye with Ellis, and we know that Ellis, from what we've been depicted as, was not a great mother. I think both subjectively and objectively.
Yeah, I feel like that's fair.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily an opinion so much as a borderline fact.
Did Ellis give Meredith a roof over her head, right? Bare necessities, sure, but good mothering, maybe not.
Did she also slice her wrists open in front of her?
Right.
Yes.
Not great. So I actually forgot about that storyline. Thank you for that, Kelsey. But the point is that sometimes the best thing a parent can give us as kids is the roadmap of what not to be. And that's what I really love, that Richard called it out right away. And
right. He
noticed it. And that was the exact thing that she needed to hear in that moment. Because already, we don't ever see a flashback to Ellis with a infant, 1-year-old Meredith, from what I remember. Mm-hmm. We saw her as a child in the hospital with Thatcher, young Thatcher, whatever. But I imagine that even with a 1-year-old, Ellis was not as over the moon as Meredith is with Zola, who didn't even come out of her vagina, and the connection, it's still so pure and amazing,
and, like, real.
And she loves Zola so much. I don't think that Ellis in a million years could have not only done what Meredith is doing, but done that for a child that I don't think Ellis would have had the capabilities in her mind to rationalize as her child through adoption. So Meredith is light years ahead of where her mom was at in a different way.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Thankfully.
Yes.
And I credit a lot of that to Meredith has a level of self-awareness that I think is what makes her very likable, in my opinion. One of the things that bothers me with characters is when they like see no flaw in themselves. They're like, I'm just great, which I think is kind of one of my main issues with Derek, is that I don't think that he has a level of self-awareness about his own flaws. And he just sees himself as like, I'm so great for like being with this woman who's so broken, just fucked up. Mm. Because no human is perfect. That's what makes people. It makes people interesting and like complex and nuanced. And I don't feel like they write Derek to have that inner like self-introspection at all. And that's part of what pisses me off about him all the time. And it's why you would never see someone like Derek in therapy, because they're like, what do I need to go to therapy for? Like, I am perfect. And that's an insane thing to think, because it's factually incorrect. Also, just if you look at his life, like he's gone through childhood trauma, that's very, very like intense and not something you would just get over. Like, I just think therapy would be a helpful tool in that scenario.
It's funny you say that, because as I'm watching Private Practice, like Amelia is around now and I forgot about her.
Yes, I love her so much.
And she's fine right now.
Oh,
it's whatever. She's okay. Oof,
you're wrong.
She's okay.
Just wait.
So what I was sitting on the train and she was like connecting. Spoiler alert, by the way. Spoiler alerts. Go ahead. Private Practice. Whatever. Blah, blah, blah. It's 30 seconds. So she's talking to a patient and she explains. She's like, look, you guys, my dad was murdered. And I'm like, oh, shit. I forgot. Like,
I know, right? You forget all
not,
the time.
This is not new information. And I forgot. Like, okay.
Right. Yeah.
Also, wait, what episode do I need to get to? I need to get all the way into season 5, right?
Yeah.
No, yeah, I'm screwed.
It's fine. We'll figure it out.
We're doing great. I'm really trying, guys. I'm in season 4, episode 2 or 3 now.
Yeah.
So
it's fine. So I really appreciate that with Meredith. And I do think that the story arc that we see of her in therapy helps her come to a lot of these realizations about herself and about Ellis, and like not conflating just because this person is your mother means you will be this person or are this person.
Correct.
So I like that. I like that about, as much as Meredith is like not my favorite character and will never be my favorite character, I really appreciate that about her as a character, is that she has this self-introspection and she has like, oh, I know I don't want to be this. I do want to be these things. And so I do appreciate that about the way they write her. And it is interesting to watch someone like that parent, because that's always going to be better than someone who's like, I'm perfect. I don't need to do anything different about my life. Because like that is where you're really going to fuck up a kid.
Correct.
There's, you know, being a parent's terrifying. It is what it is. And you read all these things that are like, don't be like it's an easy trap to fall into where you're like, I'm going to be the parent I needed, which is not necessarily the parent your child needs.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's just kind of hard. Like, I do like the point you made about like a roadmap of what not to be. So you can think like, oh, I'm not going to do X, Y, and Z. But you have to like balance that with figuring out, okay, but what do I need to do for my child and also for me? Because you do. So it's just a wild time out here. It's just a wild time.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fun, but it's also terrifying.
So one thing that I also want to add onto that is what I like about Meredith as a parent, which we're seeing, is I don't think that she has this desire to like live vicariously through her child.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Which also, by the way, I've my entire life until this week, I thought it was vicariously with a B. It's vicariously with a V. I've just been saying vicariously in regular conversation, and not a single
like you're
person
saying has helped.
But yes, not vicarious, vicariously.
No, I know. I just think it's funny.
And
it's
no
close.
One has once snipped it in the butt for me. Okay, not a single person has done that.
If I ever heard you say it and like could definitively say that you were saying, they sound close enough that I feel like you might not know that. The people might not know you're saying vicariously, but that's really funny.
Like literally, I think it was actually this week. I was like, I heard someone say vicariously and I was like, that's weird. Why did they say it wrong? Turns out me, I'm the fucking wrong person. Are you kidding me? I was so annoyed. I was so mad. I like raged to myself, and I know words. Okay, folks, I know things. I'm the best word person in the whole world. I know bigly words. Yes.
Anal.
Look into the annals of history and it will tell you. Gosh, I was so mad. I was like, I had to share that with you. I was raging. But
that's
anyways,
so funny.
Meredith is not trying to live vicariously through Zola.
No, she just wants to give Zola like a good life.
Yes, and I love that.
It's admirable. That's also, there's a saying that's like, bad parents don't worry about being bad parents. So like, if you're worried, oh, am I doing a good job? Am I doing a bad job? You're already doing a better job than people who don't give a shit if they're doing a good job.
Like the people who
like obviously
leave their
there's
kids.
A threshold. There's more to it than that. But like, yeah, people who actively don't give a shit if they're being a good parent are not good parents.
Yeah. For a while there. Like, I don't remember what the exact argument was, but Jessica and I were having an argument, and I said, there are people out there who put their babies in microwaves, and I'm not doing that. Like, if that's my bar,
that was your argument for a lot of things. Anytime Marlo as an infant would cry, like, unconsolably, Carmen would be like, Marlo, some people put their babies in microwaves. Why are you crying?
Yes.
You're not even in a microwave.
The house is actually at a very good temperature. Oh,
you're not even in a microwave.
You're not even in a microwave. I'm not even trying to murder
you. Just to like wrap up that kind of whole Meredith Richard storyline, I will say I liked the moment where Bailey and Meredith are in the liver surgery, like they're retrieving the liver. And Bailey is talking about why she should do general. And it's not just like, oh, because of your Ellis, because of your mom, because of your legacy. So it's like, there's nothing wrong with knowing one organ and knowing it really well. But like, how cool is it to get to have a specialty where you don't know like what you're going to see that day? Like it could be the pancreas, it could be the colon, it could be the liver, it could be the kidney. Like, you know,
that was a really awesome way to describe that. Yeah.
She's like, there's nothing wrong with being fifth chair, but it's more fun to be the conductor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I just liked that analogy. And I thought that that also resonated with Meredith as well, because she's kind of, and I think that if you look at her arc, like, oh, she was in neuro, she was doing this, she was doing that. So I think if she's not feeling called to one specific organ, the way that like Christina is, right, then why not do general? That feels like a better fit.
Yeah.
Like, obviously Bailey and Weber have been mentoring her for essentially this entire series.
Yep.
So the foundation is there. She's got a good foundation educationally. Obviously, yes, they have the legacy, but that doesn't necessarily mean like, oh, she's just born great at this, but the passion is there. So I liked that analogy, that explanation, that moment between the two of them. I like that they don't hate each other anymore. I like that they're curing diabetes together.
Yes. There was also a scene, I think we'll get into some more of it because there's like some intertwined Meredith points, but at one point, Christina's like, what about bones?
Oh yeah.
Or wait, was this the episode where, yeah, right, where Christina, they're talking about the birthday thing, and Alex says, does he say something like, kiss my butt?
Oh yeah, and then Christina's proctology. Proctology.
Oh, the mysteries of the butt. We love the mysteries of the butt.
Yes.
We'll talk more about that in the next episode, I think.
Booty hole.
Booty hole.
Yeah. So, well, was there anything else on like the Adele, Richard, Meredith, Bailey liver storyline that you wanted to add?
There might be some notes that were in a different category that, as we're talking about Meredith, I might bring
Valentine.
Back. But yeah,
it was really sad. Like, obviously, after he gets Adele calmed down, and then he just turns to Meredith and he's like, tell Bailey to cancel the party.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was sad. Appropriate, but sad. And then obviously, I mentioned it offhand, but the end when they scrape off Zola's name off the cake and take it to Richard to make Zola's birthday party like his celebration. Very special. It's very like, there's just such a familiar bond and a love between all these people, and it's very nice.
The sad part about that, though, too, is that Adele couldn't even go. Like, Adele couldn't even go to the party. Yeah. And then, you know, also the yelling that ruined the party as well.
We'll get to that. I hate him so much. Anyways, so yeah, it's a good portrayal of a very real and sad reality for a lot of people when it comes to the Adele Alzheimer's storyline. But I think that's it for that. So we'll get into the rest of it on the next episode, where we will start with everyone's favorite segment.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.